Good morning. Certainly it is good for us to be here today. I want to express appreciation to the four young men who did an excellent job in preparing for and orchestrating our youth rap session on this past Friday. They did a wonderful job. Derek Quarles, Gary Davis, David Love, Molan Thompson. And I just send out kudos for them. They invested a lot of time, and I think our young people really appreciated the rap session and how it was carried out, and appreciated the pizza as well. But they did a fine job. We have three remaining rap sessions, and they're very meaningful. We talked about kicking bad habits and cultivating good habits. We had an excellent turnout. We had 9 adults there, including some of the parents of our young people. We had 18 of our young people there. So they are to be commended, and we certainly appreciate the parents for taking time out to bring their children to ensure that they were in attendance. That says a lot about you and about your concern for the spiritual welfare of our young people. So we want to thank our young people for wanting to come and coming and conducting themselves with excellent deportment, and we're grateful for their parents as well. Turn in your Bibles, please, to Matthew chapter 16, verse number 24. Matthew chapter 16, verse number 24. Brother Henry Carey read verses 21 through 24, but I want to just zero in on verse 24, and we'll talk about that verse primarily. Then Jesus said unto his disciples, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. There is no such thing as cheap salvation. Not the kind that is often preached and stressed. Following Jesus or being saved costs. It costs all that a person is and has. A man is not saved without following Jesus. See Luke 19:9 rather than verse 23. And following Jesus means being obedient to the gospel requirements, culminating in one's being baptized for the remission of his sin, making a commitment to live for the Lord, to live righteously from there on. Jesus' death demands the total commitment of a man. Christ gives basically 4 steps that are involved in total commitment. Now, so we're going to be talking about the cost of discipleship. A person, first of all, must will to follow Christ. The word wills means to desire, to wish, to design, purpose, to resolve, to determine. It is a deliberate willing, a deliberate choice, a determined resolve to follow Christ. If a person really wills, that is, makes up his mind, makes a determination in his mind, and deliberately chooses to follow Christ, then he has to do 3 essential things. Note, the choice is voluntary. It is made by the person. Your mama can't make that choice for you. Your papa can't make it. Your granny can't make it for you. Your brother and your sister can't make it. Aunt Matilda can't make that choice for you. The choice has to be made by the individual person. It is the individual who must act and do the three things that Jesus mentions as essential to discipleship in verse number 24. Now, the first thing he mentions is a person must deny himself. The word deny means to disown, disregard, forsake, renounce, reject, refuse, restrain, disclaim, do without. It means to subdue, to disregard oneself and one's interests. Very simply, it means to say no. The call is not to say no to some behavior or thing, but say no to self. See, self wants to rule. Self wants to maintain control. Self wants to operate on the throne of your life. But you have to say no to self and take self, as it were, by the hand and lead self to the cross and there crucify self on the cross. We don't want to get rid of self. We want to be in charge. A person is to deny self. And this means much more than just being negative. That is, giving up something and doing without something. It means that we are to act positively, to say yes to Christ and no to self. It means to let Christ rule and reign in our hearts and lives, to let Christ have his way completely. But we don't want to do that. We want to have our way. We want to do what we want to do. But in denying self, in saying no to self, you see, you're saying no to pride. You're saying no to selfishness. You're saying no to the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life. You're saying no to envy. You're saying no to gossip. You're saying no to being antagonistic to the Spirit of Christ and doing your own thing. Of course, if a person allows Christ to rule in his life, all negative as well as positive behavior is taken care of, because, see, you take Christ and you enthrone him and you dethrone self. I saw a bumper sticker, and you probably have seen one like this or similar to it, which says, if God is your co-pilot, y'all need to change seats. In the Greek, the word deny is in what they call the ingressive aorist, which means that the person enters a new state or condition. It means essentially, let him at once to deny himself. Let him begin to deny himself immediately. So you must deny yourself. If you want to be a disciple of Jesus, you just can't embrace, that's the word I'm looking for, you can't embrace the Burger King mentality. You can't have it your way if you are to follow Christ, if you want to be a disciple of Christ. And I think we have made it, unfortunately, too easy, too undemanding for folks to be disciples of Christ. And people feel like, I can obey the gospel, I can become a Christian, and I can still do whatever I want to do. I'm not going to be held responsible and accountable for living righteously and bringing my will into alignment with the will of God according to the teaching of God. I still can just basically mess around desultorily, not taking life seriously, but just kind of living a haphazard, half-committed, non-committed life. And the Lord will still accept that, and we'll understand. But there's a price to be paid. Not only must we deny self, but we must take up the cross. Jesus was to bear the cross for man. Now, he said there was another cross, a cross which man was to bear for him. And we sing that song, Eric. Must Jesus bear the cross alone and all the world go free? No, there's a cross, Dennis, for everyone. And there's a cross for me. If a man wished to follow Christ, he had to bear this cross. There was no option. Discipleship demanded it. And people in Jesus' day, they knew what it meant to take up a cross. They saw scores of criminals bearing the cross to the place where they were to be executed. And oftentimes, crosses with criminals on them, writhing in agony, awaiting the immediate state of death, lined the roadways leading into the cities. So they understood what it meant to take up the cross. The cross does not mean merely bearing one's particular hardship in life, such as poor health, foreclosures on your homes, the loss of a job, the desertion of a mate, the waywardness of a child. Those are crosses to bear. Those are difficulties and hardships that we have to deal with periodically. But that's not really what Jesus is talking about, for the most part. The cross is always an instrument of death, not just an object to carry or bear. Now, when we think about bearing the cross, usually we have a little cute cross in mind. Some people have them on their necklaces. They have them around their necks, you know, nice little golden and little silver crosses. And then they have some of those crosses where you have a little peephole in it. And you can look in there and you can see the Lord's Prayer. It's decorative by design. It helps you to express your fashionableness. It enhances your attire. Sometimes people wear little crosses on their wrists as bracelets. Other times people have crosses tattooed on various parts of their bodies, and they bear in their bodies the cross of Christ, but that's not really what Christ is talking about. The Christian is to die mentally and actively. He is to deny himself daily. He is to let the mind of Christ, the mind of humbling himself to the point of death, be in him and fill his thoughts every day. The Apostle Paul puts it very well in Philippians chapter 2, that oft-quoted passage, verses 5 through 8. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was found in fashion as a man. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. To bear your cross, to take up your cross, is to put your will, your desires, your wants, your ambitions to death. In their stead, he is to follow Jesus and do his will all day long. You have to put pride to death. You have to put selfishness to death. You have to put vainglorious ambition to death. You have to put envy to death. You have to put lust to death. All of these things must be crucified. You have to really crucify self. Self, you are dead. You're not in control any longer. I am separated from you. You don't have any influence on me. Christ is now in control of my life. This is not negative, passive behavior. It takes positive, active behavior to will, to deny self, to take up one's cross, to follow Christ. A person has to act, work, get to it, be diligent, consistent, and enduring in order to die to self. I'm going to continue this lesson this evening, and I'm going to talk about how we die to self more specifically, and how we follow Christ. I'd like to urge you really this very day to begin following him. You know, he said, if a man will come after me, let him deny himself, let him take up his cross and follow me. You got to give some stuff up now. Jesus died on the cross that we might live. But in order for us to live, prerequisitely, we must die to the practice of sin, and we must put self to death. Self has to be crucified. And Jesus has to become your all in all. He died, he was buried, didn't stay dead. He arose triumphantly from the grave on the third day. That's good news. Because of his death, he makes it possible for us to live. But in order for us to live, we have to die too. And we die to the practice of sin. That's called repentance. After we believe that good news with all of our hearts, repent of our sins, confess our faith in Jesus Christ as the Son of God, and submit to baptism in water for the remission of our sins. And we can begin then to follow Christ earnestly and sincerely, having committed ourselves to living for him every day. If you want to do that today, we're going to ask you to do it now as we together stand and as we sing.
I hear the Savior say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all and all. Jesus paid it all, and all to him I owe. Sin have left the crimson stain, and he washed it white as snow. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin the crimson stain, he paid it all to